I was thirsty. You wouldn't give me food or drink. I was a stranger. You wouldn't welcome me into your home. I was naked and you would not clothe me. I was sick and in prison. And you would not take care of me. And then they will answer him, "When, Lord, did we ever see you hungry? Or you thirsty? Or you in prison? Are you out of work? Are you homeless? Are you terrified? Are you lonely?" And the king will reply, "I tell you, whenever you refused to help one of the least important ones of mine, you refused to help me." These then were sent for eternal punishment. And the righteous will go to eternal life. Are you ready for Christmas?
No.
You know when the season of Christmas starts, don't you? 1st of September. It's in the shops, we're ready, we've got a good build up September, October, November, December. And for most people, it's over Boxing Day. And yet Christmas starts, the first day of Christmas is Christmas Day, and we go up to Epiphany, January the 6th. Be prepared. Who's a Boy Scout? Let's see your knees. You've got to be prepared. That was John the Baptist's message. Be prepared. Be prepared to whirl it out for Christmas. There's no point in starting Christmas in September. We've got the rest of our Christian year to work through. And of course, we come to Advent, the time of preparation. And John the Baptist prepares the people for the coming of the Messiah. The Jews have been looking for a Messiah for arguably 1,000 years or more. And between the last page of the Old Testament and the first page of the New Testament, there's round about 450 years. We've got another book, the Apocrypha, where the story's in there. But things seem to slow down for the Jews. And they weren't looking as keenly for the Messiah as time moved on. Messiah, Hebrew, translated to Greek, Christ. Messiah translated into English, anointed one, but the chosen one. The person who is chosen by God, who is anointed by God, to save the people from their sins, to restore creation and bring everything back to God. John the Baptist is the forerunner. Prepare the way of the Lord. He's coming. When is he coming? Well, even John's not sure. But people think it might be John. But he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And it's pantomime season. Oh, yes, it is. And Dick Whittington. Turn again, Whittington, when he hears the bells of London. The old phrase was repent, Whittington. Turn again, repent. Turn back, Whittington. Turn back to God, repent, turn back to God. And John the Baptist wants the people to turn back to God because there's this great thing happening that has been promised throughout Scripture. God will do a wonderful thing. And John wants to prepare people. People ask, "What shall we do?" And he said, "First of all, be honest and share the love that you've got." If somebody's got two shirts, give somebody else one. You can't wear two at once. Unless he didn't grow down. Don't tell lies. Don't falsify statements, he says to soldiers. Now that's fascinating, soldiers. Because these are Roman soldiers. So even Roman soldiers are following a Jewish prophet. So straight away the message is to Jews and Gentiles alike. Because then Jesus comes and is baptized by John, and we learn about that January, February time in our Christian year. But Jesus has been there listening to John. And Jesus is baptized, and then in that baptism where the triune majesty of God comes together, God the Father speaks, "This is my beloved Son," and the Holy Spirit comes as the dove, "In whom I am well pleased." That is when Jesus chose. to do some great things, some great mission. And so, Jesus moves on with his ministry, gathers people around him and shares his message. And then people say, well, wait a minute, Jesus, if you're going to go away, just teaching said he would, what's going to happen to us? And Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. We've all got a place. I go to prepare a place for you. And then I'll come back and I will take you to myself so that where I am, you may be also. Now what a promise that is. What a promise. That's worth missing strictly what that's in for. That's a promise. But when are you going to come back? And Jesus says, I don't know. Do you think that's hard of Jesus saying, I don't know? But Jesus says, I don't know. The Son doesn't know. Only the Father knows that. Come any time. And so the disciples and the early church thought that Jesus would come back in their lifetime on earth. And to their experience, people were dying before they'd seen the Christ come back. The second coming of Christ. So our Advent is a preparation for the birth of the Messiah, which we call now Christmas time. And it's also looking further forward to the second coming of Christ. So Advent is two things, two ideals. The Jews, of course, missed the first coming. They must have been busy. Of course, there are Messianic Jews, which is Christians by another name. Of course, Christians are Messianic Jews by another name. So some Jews follow Christ. But there's a second coming. When will that be? And how will it come? And Jesus said, they'll come like thief in the night. You'll get up and it will happen. We don't know when it will come, but it will come suddenly. When you least expect it. And he goes into several stories. Stories about bridesmaids. Five were wise, five were foolish. Five didn't have badges for the dogs, she's right for the lambs. Tesco's were shut, couldn't get any more. And the door was shut. And there's another story about a farmer. And he finds out that the evil one has sown weeds among his wheat. And one of the workers says, let's gather them up. Master says, no. Let everything grow to the harvest. We may not get as good a crop of wheat. Well, then we'll separate the wheat one way and the weeds the other. You see, there are lots of stories about separation at the end of things. St. Francis of Assisi was hoeing in his garden in a monastery with a fellow brother. And the brother said to him, Francis, he wasn't saying that. He said, Francis, what would you do if Jesus came now? And Francis said, I guess I'd keep on going. Keep on keeping on. That's what we're expected to do. You've probably seen the t-shirt, Luke busy. Jesus is coming. We don't just need to Luke busy. We need to be busy. What do we have to do? Well, Jesus tells us in this story, we've got to share ourselves with others. If we see someone in need, they need food. Let's set up a system to help people get food. If we see someone who's thirsty, let's at least give them a drink of water. If we see someone lonely, let's at least befriend them. If we see someone in prison, let's support them in some way. Now, I know everybody doesn't want to go and visit people in prison. And I know everybody doesn't want to go and visit people in hospital. And I know everybody doesn't want to knock on the next door neighbor's door. But between us, we've got all the talents to do all the things. With each of us wanting to be one of them, or two of them. We haven't got to force ourselves into a mould to do everything. But at least we've got to do something. And Jesus turns to the people on his right and said, yep, you did it. You shared yourselves with others, which is what my teaching was all about. Well done. And the battle, these people on the right, the battle, because they've been separated into two groups. And the two groups are always separated based in this story on what they've done. They're not based on hierarchy, not based on wealth. This split group is not based on whether they went to church or not. It's based on how they shared themselves with others. Other people say, when did we see you? Well, yeah, we saw, you know, that old man, we saw this lady, but when did we see you? And Jesus said, whenever you did it for anybody, you did it for me. And he'll turn to people on his left. Because when a shepherd takes out a flock, it's usually sheep and goats together, is it? Eastern lands, and they have different needs. The sheep need to go the outside at night, the goats need to be inside, so they're separated. And they say the people on his left, you never so much as put your hand in your pocket, give me a pound when you saw me, the door outside, and I don't. He didn't share anything with me. He didn't send me a greetings card. He didn't send me a get well card in hospital. He never went to visit me. He never put anything in the collection. He went to a charity that donated things to me. He never gave me any food. He never gave me water. He never gave me any friendship. He just carried on your life as though it was only you. And you know, those people on his left say exactly the same thing as those on his right said. When did we see you? We saw that chap who was out to work. We saw that disabled chap. We saw loads of people sick on our television screen, but we didn't donate to famine relief. But when did we see you? Jesus says, I was in every one of those people. So, people separated. Charlie Brown in the Peanuts cartoon, he stands there in one square and he said, I love mankind. And then he moves on to the next square and he says, it's people I can't stand. You see, it's all well and good saying, oh, we love everybody. That's no good. Jesus says, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter my kingdom. See, I know our theology says we are saved by faith, not by word. But Jesus also says, by their fruits you will know them. If you've got the faith in Christ, we need to put that faith into action, and there will be another separation at the end of time. Some time ago, I went to the opticians. My face is around here. He said to me, what sort of glasses do you want? I said, how do you know what glasses? He said, I can tell the minute you walked in through the window. I said, I can't see very far. He took me outside. He said, what's that? I said, the sun. He said, why do you want to see? He said, have your eyes ever been checked? I said, no, they've always been great. So I needed my fault. So the week after I go back, I put the bifocals on. I open the door to go out, and while I've been in the shop, somebody's dug a 6 foot hole. I need a ladder to get down the doorstep now. I walk down the street to the car, 4 attempts to find the right door. I get in, I put my knee into gear. What a strange experience when you first get bifocals. Wow! But I'll tell you something. I can now do something I couldn't before. I can see 2 things at once. See, I look down and I see the human now. John the Baptist, and Jesus preached his sermon when he was in prison. Because Jesus said, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here now. Oh, heaven's in your heart. It's here now. I can see that now. I can see the here and now clearly. And I can look up. I've got a long distance vision. I can see the second coming. I can see the first coming. And the second. I can see heaven in 2 places. Here and now at hand. in front of me. And I raise up and look into the future with a lovely long-range vision. So Christians at Advent have to be bifocal. We have to see the here and now, and we have to see how the here and now affects the future. Many years ago, I was a teenager, I was the youngest person on the Manchester Council of Churches at the time, and in those days the secretary was a man called Paul Guinness, a huge man, about 6'6" at least, huge arms, and he used to say, the Jews are looking for the first coming of the Messiah, Christians are looking for the second coming of the Messiah, what if it's the same event? You see, you need to think about this great gathering of the nations and the judgment, the separation. Oh yes, everybody's promised eternal life, but some are promised it in God's presence and some in God's absence. So you need to know about it for one very simple reason. You'll be there. Amen.